Well, amen and amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Amen, brothers. Please get your Bibles and open up to Psalm 148. Psalm 148, when you arrive at Psalm 148, please mark the psalm so that in case you want to go somewhere else, you can come right back to it. Now, today's lesson is for the mature Christian. You know, Paul said to the church at Corinth, I haven't been able to feed you with strong food. I've just fed you with milk, and I try to feed you with both. But we're gonna talk about some things that are quite in depth in the Word of God today. And please bear with me on this. And for those of you that may not be as mature, you just kind of struggle along as you can go. And for those of you that have been in the church for a while, I'm hoping that you're going to learn some things that maybe you've never seen before about praise and glorify the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that God created humankind, male and female, and He created humankind in His image. He does not explain what that image is, but I believe the image of God, a part of the image of God, is our ability to know our Creator and our ability to elevate and worship our Creator as we should and have a special relationship with our Creator as opposed to all the rest of the creation which cannot do this. Now, part of knowing how to worship and rational thinking, God says in Genesis chapter 3, following the first sin, that a part of that is also knowing good and evil. So we're very special. We're not like the rest of creation. I believe we are very special. That may sound arrogant, but it's the truth. You know, little rodents and little rabbits and little birds, they never build anything like the Hoover Dam or the great highways of America or the great buildings that we've built. And they do not know the difference between good and evil. And they are not in the image of God as we are. Now, having said that, that means we have certain responsibilities, church. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. Because I don't want you to be ignorant of your responsibilities before God. And the psalm is one of the areas we can go in the Word of God to really learn about this. Now, to prepare ourselves for this, let's look at something. Here's what Isaiah said about Israel. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Now notice what I've underlined there. He says of his people, of Israel, of the nation, whom I created for my glory. You see, we are here to glorify the Lord. And we have been created for that purpose. Now, what I'm trying to do this morning is to help us to understand in what way can we have been created for this and how we can do this. This is what Paul says about the church. To the praise of His glorious grace. Now, let me read to you what came before this. Paul said concerning the church, that it was created before even the world the church was planned before even the world was created. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He freely has given us in the one that He loves. Now, notice that He predestined us for adoption to the sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will for this purpose, the praise of His glorious grace. So Paul tells the Gentiles that made up that church at Ephesus that it has been before the world was even created that God had in mind this for you. That would include us today. Amen. For the praise of His glorious grace. That is, we must reflect that. We must recognize His grace. We must glorify the Creator of humankind and recognize that the church was created for the very purpose that God had in mind, to have that relationship that He wanted to have with this special part of His creation that He created in His own image. And as He says of Israel, to reflect His glory, or whom I created for my glory. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? This was God's plan before the world was even created. No other part of creation can do what we are designed to do, and that is not said of other parts of creation. Now, what is the meaning of glorify? Praise and glorify the Lord. To glorify something is to elevate something above which it normally is. Now, we can glorify a lot of things. People find they can glorify war, they can glorify athletics, or glorify human endeavors. But I'm not talking about what we humans might glorify. I'm talking about when we glorify the one who created us. What does that mean? Well, if we look at Scripture, what it means is to honor and praise our Creator, to honor with praise, admiration, and worship of our Creator. That's the three ways we can do this. Praise, admiration, and worship. Now, we do not make God glorious because He is already glorious. However, what we do is we recognize His glory. Now, this brings us to our text here in Psalms 148. Look at this text, very important. Praise the Lord. That's the first thing. I want you to underline that if you mark in your Bibles like I do, because you'll see this later on and maybe you'll remember some of the things we talked about here. But underline that. Now, that is a Hebrew verb. There's only one verb right there. It takes three English words to translate it. But there's just one Hebrew verb there, and it's one of the most significant Hebrew verbs in all of the Old Testament. And it's found especially in the Psalms, but it's found quite often in Scripture. Praise the Lord. And the inspired psalmist gives that as a way to glorify the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him and all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon, and praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the sky. Well, what does that mean? I mean, the sun cannot praise the Lord like we can. No, but the sun can reflect the praise of God. The very presence of the sun and the presence of the moon reflects the glory of God. And I've come to know that as I observe the heavenly bodies. And I like to go out in my backyard and I like to sit and look up at the stars and look up at the moon. And I like to go to some of the places here on earth, some of the great beautiful places, and behold the beauty of God, because I can see, you see, God's glory, and it reflects it from creation. I think this is what the psalmist is trying to say when he says, praise Him, you highest heavens, and praise Him, you waters above the skies, there in verse 4. And praise Him, you shining stars, in verse 3. Now, the psalmist said elsewhere this, I will extol the Lord at all times. I will praise always. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Notice that I will glory in the Lord. Now, some translations have I will boast in the Lord. And this always reminds me of Paul's statement in Galatians chapter 6. When he said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Galatians 6, verse 14. Isn't that a great text? And sometimes we want to boast in ourselves and in our accomplishments. But we need to be careful about that. We need to be a little more humble, church, because that's one of the great themes that runs through Scripture, is that God will humble the proud. And He'll make fools out of us if we're not careful. He'll trip us up, so we need to be careful here. We don't need to be arrogant. But if we are going to be glorying or boasting, let us boast in the Lord. And let the afflicted hear and rejoice in that. Glorify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Now notice the last part of that sentence there in verse 3. Let us exalt his name together. Did you know that's a part of glorifying and praising God, is the exaltation of his name. That's very important in Scripture. That is a theme in Scripture, is the name of God, and it is to be exalted. When Jesus healed 10 lepers, he asked the question, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned, now listen carefully, to give praise to God except this foreigner? Has no one returned to give praise to God? Now that's what Messiah Jesus said of these ungrateful people who had been healed of leprosy. One came back and he said, well, where are the 9? The Bible tells us about Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 67, it says, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, praise be to the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. That's what we've got here in Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. But Zechariah says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed Israel. All right, now let's look at this phrase here. I've got hallelujah up here, and praise ye the Lord by it. That's the old King James, but actually the old King James is a giant leap backward. That's what we're going to go today, because it is better, really, in expressing the Hebrew here than our modern translations with just praise the Lord. And I'll show you why. Because the ye there is the second person plural. That is in the imperative, and it's clear in the imperative there in the King James. Praise ye the Lord. Now the Hebrew word transliterated in our Bibles, if we transliterate the Hebrew word, it is literally hallelujah. That's how it sounds, hallelujah. It's just one word in Hebrew, hallelujah. And all of it is there. And it's a very important word. Now this word hallelujah, brothers, we need to keep holy and reverent, because it is a very significant word, and that's why I'm going to spend the time breaking it down for you. Listen, the first part, hallel, is the Hebrew word, the infinitive, to praise. That's where the verb begins right there, with the infinitive, to praise. Now the next part, the hallelujah, is the second person plural imperative. That is, you praise, or as the King James, praise ye the Lord. And then the third part, which we pronounce Yah, the J-A-H, is actually an abbreviation for the very name of God. Sometimes you see the Jah, that is the J there, we pronounce it differently. Now for English speakers, it's hard for us to know that. Occasionally, Jeanette and I go over to California, and we visit San Jose, California. Have you ever been over there, San Jose? But in English, we there are some times when we let that J be silent. But it's in English, it would be hallelujah, and that's the way it is in the Hebrew language. Praise ye the Lord. It is a command to do. There's no options here. You are supposed to do it. You have been created in the image of God. You have the capacity to recognize the deity, the God who created the heavens and the earth, and you know how to do this. God has put this in the makeup of your being. And that's why this lesson is important, is because you need to recognize this and do it, and that's what we're going to try to talk about this morning as we look at our text. Well, now look at the text here in Psalms 148, verse 1. Praise the Lord. That's hallelujah. That's what that verse says. It says, hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him from the heights. Now look down at verse 14. You have it again. Praise the Lord. Underline that. In years to come when you read this psalm, I want you to remember this sermon, because this is one of the most important verbs in the Hebrew language, and one that you need to know. Look at Psalms 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord. There it is again. Hallelujah, it says. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Now here's the point. The God who created heavens and the earth has a name, and his name is important, and we must have reverence for it, the name of God. Now, if you'll notice there in the bottom of this PowerPoint presentation, we've got the Y, H, W, and H. Now, that's how it's anglicized, because in the Hebrew language, nobody knows how to pronounce the name of God, because the rabbis, they thought so reverently of the name that they took out the vowels and they put in the vowels for Adonai, which means Lord. And that's how it has come into our English language Bibles, as Lord, with the small caps. And the large cap followed by the small caps. That's where that comes from. But you need to recognize that every time you read that, that is the personal name for God. Now notice, there are no vowels in YHWH. Now by the way, that W is from the German scholars, and W in German is a V sound. So that's the Y represents the yod, the H is the he, and then you have the W represents the vav consonant in Hebrew, and then the H is the he consonant in Hebrew. There are no vowels. So it's foolish to try to figure out how to pronounce it. Now some people think, well, it's Yahweh. Well, no, you're assuming that you've got an A there and an E there as a vowel that you're inserting in those consonants. You nobody knows that. Now we have from the Old American Standard Bible, Jehovah. And that was their attempt. That's the only English translation I know that ever made an attempt. And they shouldn't have done it. They should have followed the other English translations and just simply put Lord there. And I know you're thinking, well, why should we follow a bunch of old rabbis? Well, Jesus did. That's why we should do that. You know, when Satan tempted Jesus to do something, he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The Lord there is the name of God, Yod, He, Vav, and He. And Jesus quoted as Lord. You see, even in the about 250 years before Christ, when the Greek Old Testament was formed, that's how they used it. They used the word in Greek for Lord, and they translated, and that was the Bible of the Greek-speaking world and of the Greek-speaking Jews. And that's how they pronounced it. And they followed it in the Greek-speaking Bible, and they followed it in the Hebrew-speaking Bible. It was all, they always substituted Lord. It's Kurios in the Greek, and then Adonai in the Hebrew is how they substituted. And why did they do this? Because the name of God is to be holy and is to be elevated, and we are to raise that name, and we need to be careful how we use that name. Now let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 111. Could you do that for me? Psalm 111, one of my favorite sections of Scripture. I want you to go to verse 9 of Psalm 111. Holy and awesome is His name. I don't think awesome does justice in this text to the actual word that stands behind it. And I believe the Old King James again is better when it says holy and reverend is His name. And by the way, that's the only time reverend is found in our English Bibles, in the King James. And it applies to God, not man. And that's why I don't call myself Reverend JB. So you make me feel very uncomfortable if you ever come up to me and say that. Because holy and reverend is His name, not my name or any other man's name. Now look at verse 10. Of Psalm 111. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. The fear of the Lord, a circle fear, and then draw an arrow to it over there to that phrase, all who follow His precepts. You know, if you fear the Lord, you're going to want to follow whatever He says, His precepts, His laws. Now sometimes laws, people want to gag on the word law today. You shouldn't be that way. If it is God's law, you should glory in it and you should be thankful for it. And if you love the Lord and you fear the Lord, then you want to follow whatever it is you're going to say. You're going to look at the Word of God and say, well, what does that mean? What does that mean and how can I apply that to my life today? Now go down to chapter 112, Psalm 112. It's right here by where you are. And notice how in verse 1 he says, praise the Lord. Are you saying hallelujah? Hallelujah. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Notice that's the same thing again. Circle fear and then draw an arrow over to the phrase, who find great delight in his commands. You see, that's how we express our fear and reverence for God, is holding a respect for his word and finding an interest in his word. We want to come to Bible study. We want to look at the word of God and see if there's something there for me to know and to learn. We want these little children in these Bible classes studying God's word at an early age so that they will know what God has said. And by the way, parents, you want to get your children into those Bible classes. Amen. And you Bible class teachers, remember, you're not there to talk about the United Nations or world events. You're there to talk about God's word. Amen. And the same thing goes for the sermon. We need to focus on God's word and what it means. Fear the Lord. You'll find great delight in his commands. Now, let me just form a period there and make a comment about hallelujah. Because in modern usage, in English, hallelujah is frequently spoken to express happiness that a thing hoped for or waited for has happened. I don't want you to use hallelujah in that way. In modern English, sometimes hallelujah, like the name of God himself, is used to express mild surprise. No, that's not the way you express mild surprise. You might express it, wow. That's okay, but you don't express it by saying, oh my God. That is a misuse of God's name. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, church. And hallelujah also needs to be reserved as a holy verb in the Hebrew language and in English as well when it comes to our language. Do not denigrate that word by bringing it down to a human level, to such a low place. Let's keep that name holy. As in the song, hallelujah, praise Jehovah. We sang some of those songs just a moment ago. Get your song books. Let's look at a song here. Look at verse 3 of your hymn book. Well, my hymn book doesn't have verse 3. Oh, here it is. Look at that. See that song there? Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. You see that? Hallelujah. Now you know what that means. That means praise ye the Lord. And then praise Jehovah. Well, Jehovah, that's from the Old American Standard. That means the name of God, the precious, holy name of God. That's what that song means. Would you like for me to lead this song to you? Now be honest. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. From the heavens, praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All his angels, praise proclaim. All the hearts together, praise him. Sun and moon and stars on high. Praise him, all ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them
praise him, for his name
alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory. Church, what a blessed thing, the name of God. Leviticus 22, the Bible says, the Lord said unto Moses, notice that Lord there in caps, that's the Lord God Almighty. El Shaddai in Scripture, God Almighty is literally what he's saying. El is the abbreviation for Elohim, and it's the name of that Elohim, that God Almighty is Lord. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to treat with respect the sacred offerings the Israelites consecrate to me, so that they will not profane. Listen now, church. So that they will not profane what? What does he say?
Holy.
My holy name. Now, I know you're saying, well, we don't do those offerings and sacrifices. They've been done away with. We do other things. What did you do during the Lord's Supper a few moments ago? Were you sitting there on your phone? You playing with some phone app? Let me see here. Let me turn my phone on. I just finished the grape juice, and I got to figure out, is that what you were doing? Were you checking your email online? Were you daydreaming about your boyfriend or girlfriend? Were you thinking about going out to eat after lunch? Brothers, you need to be careful when you're here in the house of the Lord. Listen, when I'm in the house of the Lord and the emblems are passed, what do I want to be focusing on are those emblems. And I want to think about when Jesus in Matthew 26 took the bread and he said, "This is my body." And he took the fruit of the vine and he said, "This is my blood." And I want to reflect on what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 when he said, "For often as you eat what? This bread. And drink what? This cup. You do show forth the Lord's death until he comes again." Now let me tell you, church, you don't need to be checking your email. That's what you need to be thinking about when the Lord's Supper is passed. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. Now, I'm going to point to my nose. Now, why do I do that? That's right. Everybody has one. This is my opinion. And Dr. Nose, everybody has one. But I don't want anybody doing anything during the Lord's Supper. I want to be able to focus on that. I don't want you getting up here and leading a song and disturbing me. I go and visit churches, and they're always trying to, they can't stand silence. Well, let's have some silence when the Lord's Supper's passed, because I want to think about these things. I don't want to get my songbook and try to figure out a song that you're trying to lead. Now, you know, that's just my humble opinion. And I'm just giving you the experiences that I have. But you see, I want to be careful here. Tell Aaron and his sons to treat with respect the sacred offerings and that the Israelites consecrate to me, so they will not profane my holy name. Do not profane my holy name. I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Don't we all love our names? I don't really care for mine as much. JB, but my mother named me that and I was too dumb to change it. But some people, you know, when you mispronounce their names, it upsets them, and I can understand that, and I always want to know, well, how do you pronounce that? You can't mispronounce JB. Did you notice that? You can't even do it in Spanish, it's JB. You still can't mispronounce it, so you always get my name right. But the rest of you, I want to know how to pronounce your name. Why is that? Because your name is holy to you. It's important to you. And if I don't think well enough of you to take the time to figure out how you pronounce your name, then that says something about me and my lack of respect for you. And you see, God has a name. And that's what the Bible teaches us. And his name is found every time you see L-O-R-D in those capital letters. And he says, telling to us again and again, "I am the Lord, and don't profane my holy name." Well, we've run out of time. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, "And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty.'" This is the great scene in the temple when Isaiah was permitted to see heaven and the angels and the heavenly creatures. And here it was the seraphim flying, and they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy." In Hebrew language, there is no superlative like we have in English. And instead of saying the Lord Almighty is holiest, you have to say, well, holy, holy, holy. Now, there are other ways you can express the superlative in Hebrew, but that's one way. Sometimes in the Bible, whether it's Old or New Testament, it's not expressing the superlative, but simply for emphasis' sake. The Bible repeats things when they're important. As Paul would say in Galatians, "As I have said before, so say I again." And the reason he's doing that, he's saying, you better listen up. This is important. And I believe this is what Isaiah is telling us. The seraphim were saying as they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." It's not just "holy is the Lord Almighty." It's "holy, holy, and holy is the Lord Almighty." The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. We remember Romans chapter 1. And Paul condemned the Gentiles on many occasions for what they were failing to do. Let me just read it to you. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his internal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood by what was made, so that the people are without excuse. Now listen carefully. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him. That is, they could see creation, and they should have been able to see God in that creation, but they wouldn't look. They had a worldly focus. You got to lift up your head and look and see the glory of God's creation and think about it. They neither glorified him as God, nor, here's the second mistake, gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Isaiah chapter 44, this is what the Lord said. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Well, there is no one like God. Amen. There is no one, as the rhetorical question is answered. Well, you ought to say, there is no one. Sing for joy. Go down to verse 23. Sing for joy, you heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, you earth beneath. Burst into the song, you mountains, you forests, and all you shriek. That is, the Gentiles, they were not seeing that in creation. And neither were they thankful. But they should have seen the glory of God in what God has made. And you say, well, preacher, I don't see it. Well, I'm telling you, you ought to. You're just not looking hard enough. Look again. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He displays glory in Israel. Here's what we've talked about. Number one, we are to recognize the glory of the Creator and praise him and what he has created. Amen, church. That's what we've been talking about in Psalm 148. I want you to do that more in your life than you've ever done. Number two, we are created to praise and glorify our Creator. God wants to have a relationship with you. He created you in his image before he even created you, before he created the world and the environment in which you live. God had decided that you would need a redeemer. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish. See, God had that planned out all through the ages. Before there were ages, he had already planned that out. And so did Jesus. God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. All of them, they said, let us make man in our image. That's what they said. The pronoun was plural there, and it's reflected in English. Let us make man. God is one, but there are three persons. And we are created to praise and to glorify our Creator. And then thirdly, God demonstrates his glory in sending his Son into the world to save sinners like you and like me. This now is your chance to have a forever relationship with your Heavenly Father and your Creator. If you need to respond to the gospel today, I want you to do it today, right now, because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. As together we stand and as we sing, please come if we can be of help.